We begin the current daf Masechtas Eivin, daf Pei Hei. We begin on the bottom line of Pei Dalem and Beis, where the Gemara will introduce a discussion that's related to the previous topic of the previous daf. And that is, there was the last topic spoke about a halacha from Rav Nachan Amar Shmuel that he said regarding a gaga samach l'rishas haram, regarding a roof that's nearby it abuts the rishas haram. Although generally the home is within the chatzar and the chatzar opens up into the rishas haram, here one side of the house was not enclosed by the chatzar, rather it opened up into the rishas haram. On that, Rav Nachman said a name of Shmuel that you need to have a sulam kavua, which is a stationary ladder that will stay there, that's permanent. That it will be the only way that you could carry from the mapeset for the people on the second story to go up to the roof or down, depending where the mapeset is. That is what's going to allow them to go up from the mapeset up to the roof, and therefore it's not going to be forbidden from the people, the Rosh Hashanah, on the people of the mapeset. And the Gemara had a discussion exactly why that would be if you didn't have the ladder. In other words, the ladder shows permanence, that the people of Rosh Hashanah have no usage for this. We're using it. But if they wouldn't have it, let's say it would be just a sulam arai, it would be a temporary ladder, then there would be that option of saying that the people of Rosh Hashanah do have usage for it, and therefore they would invalidate the utility of the roof for the people of Marpesa. That was the Gemara's discussion on the previous daf, if that was because that the Rosh Hashanah was within 10 tefachim of the Marpesa, which the Marpesa was within 10 tefachim of the roof. And therefore, since they share that same area without having a separation, like Abayas Halacha was, therefore they're going to be Aser. Or as Rav Papa said, maybe that's not true. Maybe it was because they both have Tashmish and Benachas. The people that Marpeset have the usage of the roof because that's easy way for them to do their right there. Or maybe even the people of Shosharam, even though they're more than 10 Tfachim away, which generally is hard for them, but since they can use it for Kumta and Suju, they could use it for their hats and their scarves in the summer months when they get hot, that's also considered Tashmish and Benachas. Therefore, we say that they're also considered Tashmish and Benachas Lazeh and Nachas Lazeh, and therefore they're both going to be forbidden since they share this common area of Rosh Hashanah and Marpeset to use this roof. Now the Gemara is going to discuss a halacha that will come in relation to this statement of Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. So the Gemara begins. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. We continue on the top of Pehei Amar Alf. Bar Shebein Shtei Chatzeres, regarding a pit that's between two different courtyards, and that is these two courtyards are separated from each other, and between the two courtyards there runs like a small little alleyway that doesn't have any dwellers open up into it. Generally, we're accustomed that a mavoi has chatzeres open to that and batim open to the chatzeres. Here we're talking about that these two chatzeres are totally separated, and this small alleyway that runs through doesn't have any openings from any homes or any chatzeres into it. And this pit is in this alleyway that's between these two chatzeres. Mufleges mikoisel zarba umikoisel zarba. And the case that we're talking about is that the pit has a distance from the wall of one chatzer, four tefachim, and has a distance of four tefachim from the other wall of the other chatzer. And as Rashi explains, because if they wouldn't be four tefachim away, then they would be considered tashmish benachas, a convenient usage from both chatzers. And that would then have the same halachic status as a bar that's half in this courtyard and half in that courtyard, because since it's within four tefachim, we view it as an easy usage, where then we say that the rishus of both these chatzeres, they both have domain over this pit. And we learned in the Mishnah that a bar that's between two chatzeres, then we say you're not allowed to fill up from it on Shabbos, because each domain, each chatzer that did not make an eiv with each other will make it forbidden to use that area until they make an eiv together, or you make what's called a mechitza tluya, a hanging wall, which although generally that doesn't work, that's a certain leniency that we made, the Chacham allowed regarding the application of utility for water. So again, so we're talking about that they have to be a distance of four tefachim away. So they're not tashmish benachas. We don't view them as having tashmish, as having utility of this pit. So the halach is as follows. So therefore, this courtyard can send out a small little slat from their wall that reaches till the pit, umemali, and then they can fill up from the water pit through their window, because again, no one has openings into this mavoi. There's no doorway that opens, not from any courtyard, any home. But rather, their window is overlooking this alleyway, and therefore, it's more than four tefachim away. So we said that they could just send out this slat, have it there, and then they could fill up the water. And then the other side, the other chatzah could do the same thing also. They could have a slat hanging out from their wall all the way to the pit, and then they could fill up the water from the pit and bring it in through the window into their home. And the reason is, again, as we said, since it's four tefachim away from either chatzar, so neither of them has a ruling that has domain over this pit to say that each one is going to make it forbidden one on the other. And for that same reason, which is really connected to this concept, we say that each one of these chatzeres and technically cannot utilize the mavi even for themselves, because again, none of the dwellers, there is no dwelling that opens up into this courtyard going into the mavi that they can go ahead and use their regel, in other words, to walk in and use and fill up the water pit. And that's not the way they usually use it during the week. They use a derech aver. Through the window, they go and reach out because there's no entryway in it. And in truth, really, this halacha would be that you would not need to even have a ziz of this little slat that's coming out of the wall to go, because why would you need a slat? There's no one that's making it usher one on the other. In a sense, it's like a makam p'tur. No one has rights of way in this mavi. So therefore, you can go ahead and draw the water. What's the purpose of this ziz? Truth, this ziz is only for what's called heker b'yama. It's just a sign that people should not think that you can utilize an area that has a shared domain, that's being shared by two different domains that did not join an erev together. And that's why with this small tikkun, it's enough. And similarly, we find in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos on Perek Hazerek on Kof Amud Beis that regarding a ship, Rav Huna says that if you want to fill up water from the seawater up to the ship, you could just send out this small little ziz, this slat, and then you could fill up the water. And as the Gemara there explains, that the purpose of this ziz is just for a heker, just as a sign that one should not think that you're allowed to carry from a karmelis, which is what the sea is, to Rosh Hashayach, which is what the ship is. Now, in truth, the reason is over here that picking up water from the sea to the ship, in that case, is not considered taking from a karmelis to Rosh Hashayach, because that man, the Amr, measures the sea from the ground. And therefore, all the water that's way more above than 10 tefachim is considered the Aver, airspace of a Makom Patur, not of a Karmelis, because we view the water as if it's not there. And therefore, we consider the seabed as the Karmelis. And the Karmelis only goes up to 10 tefachim. Above that is going to be an Aver Makom Patur. So therefore, of course, you could draw the water to the ship, but we require a ziz kolshu just as a sign to show that you're not allowed to, it's not really a karmelis Rosh Hashayach, but just that you should know the differential. That's why we require the ziz. That's similar type of a concept in this halacha that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, that although really both of them could just draw without the ziz is a sign of a heker that don't think that these two chatzeres share this bar. Because then it would be a problem when you have a domain that's shared by two different domains and they didn't join the air, that each make it forbidden on the other. That's what we're showing you, that really they don't have. They're more than four tefachim away, and there's no one that has an entryway into here. And therefore, each one can fill up from their window, from the pit to the window, into their home. But we require ziz to show that this is a different type of a case, and therefore it's not really two chatzeres that are joined and that have joint ownership on this part. Rav Yehuda Dideyam, and then says Rav Yehuda himself says that he quoted this halacha in the name of Shmuel, but he himself says afilakanya. In truth, even a reed which is not so recognizable as a ziz, as a slat, is more prominent. Even a reed would be enough as a heker to allow a person to go ahead and draw the water into his home, and that we won't get confused with a different type of a case when again that it is shared by the two chatzeres. So Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef. Abayi said to Rav Yosef, Had Rav Yehuda, this halacha of Rav Yehuda that we require somewhat of a tikkun. Again, generally we said you wouldn't need any tikkun, but it requires somewhat of a tikkun because of the confusion that it might show that you have two, that this pit that's shared by two chatzeres that you're allowed to fill up with it, even though they didn't make an erev. He says, Dishmuel hi. It must be that this statement of Rabbi Yehuda was said in the name of his Rebbe of Shmuel, and that's who taught him this halacha, that you have to have somewhat of a tikkun. De'idah Rav, because one of Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbeim, he had a Rebbe Rav, and he had a Rebbe Shmuel. If it would have been from Rav, it cannot be, because he would not have learned this halacha from Rav. Because Ha'amar, because Rav said, Ein odem oisra al chaveri derech aver. A person cannot make something, an area, forbidden to his friend through a utility of airspace. And that is, if the only way you utilize an area is through a distance of using the airspace, that you would have to, let's say, throw the pitcher, the pail in the airspace of four tefachim, then even a kanya, which is what Rabbi Yehuda ultimately says, even this reed would not be necessary according to Rav. That's what this case is here. As we said, that the only way that these two chatzeres utilize the area of the pit is by throwing it a distance of four tefachim, because that's how far the pit is from each chatzer. Rav says that even if I have utility, I cannot make it forbidden on you. And therefore, even if it was shared by the two chatzeres, I would not make it forbidden, because that's the only way I use it. Therefore, Rav would hold that you wouldn't even need a kanya. So Rabbi Yehuda that says that you need to have either a ziz or even, like he himself said, a kanya, obviously is being taught from his Rabbi Shmuel and not from his Rabbi Rav. So now the Gemara asks, so therefore, if this is that it's from Shmuel, Ud Shmuel Mehecha. So the question is, where did he get, from which statement of Shmuel did his student Rabbi Yehuda get this halacha that you have to have this type of a tikkun? And that is, as Rashi explains, that what Abaye is assuming now, that Rabbi Yehuda is teaching the statement in the name of Shmuel, he thought Abaye had heard the statement of Rabbi Yehuda that it was said without the application in the name of his Rabbi Shmuel, that he heard it like this. He heard that Rabbi Yehuda said that a pit between two different courtyards that has a distance of four tefachim, each one from the other. So this one puts a kana and he fills up, and this one puts a reed and fills up. And he didn't hear explicitly that this wasn't a statement of Shmuel, because if it was going on the statement of Shmuel that he had said that that all you need is to have is a ziz kolshu, is this a slat, and that's what Abaye heard that Rabbi Yehuda said. So then what was the question that weird, from which statement of Shmuel was it coming from? What do you mean he heard that Shmuel said explicitly that it needs somewhat of a tikkun? And Rabbi Yehuda was qualifying and saying that, you know what, it's not even necessary for Ziz, it's enough even for a Kanya. So therefore, when Abaye is asking now, which statement of Shmuel was it that does require somewhat of a tikkun? Obviously, is that he didn't hear Rabbi Yehuda saying this halacha in the name of Shmuel, and therefore he wants to know, how did he infer this from one of the halachas he heard from his Rabbi Shmuel? So therefore, the Gemara discusses, if it's from this following halacha, which is why we introduced this statement, going back to the statement of the last statement of the previous daf, the Amr of Nachman, Amr Shmuel, the Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, Gag has samach l'shasarabim, that when you have a roof that's nearby to the public domain, tzarch sulam kavu lahatira, then you need to have a permanent ladder to permit the, again, the usage of the marpeset, the people of the second story, that is by the gallery that opens up by the second story there, for them to use the roof, it requires a permanent ladder, because if not, then the people of the Rosh Hashanah would make it forbidden on the people of the marpeset. How? How is that? That's through the ear space, because this roof is not fit to be used for the people of the public domain, as we explained that case in the previous stop, that it's more than 10 tefachim from the Shasarab. The only way the people in the public domain can use it is if they throw on top of the roof something, because generally, the Rosh Hashanah anyways doesn't come all the way to the home itself, even if it opens up into it and not into the chatzar, because there's always blockages there near the wall. So they have to be somewhat of a distance. So now the only way they could use it is by throwing onto the roof. And yet in spite of that, we said that if you're not going to have a sulam kavu, a permanent ladder, from the marpeset, from the gallery, from the second story up to the roof, that then it's going to be forbidden from the people of Shasaram. So therefore you see that derech aver, that the people that in the Rosh Hashanah, the only way they could use it is by the ear space, still they will make it forbidden on the people of marpeset. So therefore you see how Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, that it was from his Rabbi Shmuel. And that the Gemara says no, as the Gemara itself had disproved Abaye's interpretation of this halacha on the previous daf, it similarly disproves this interpretation from the statement of Rav Papa. Dimak Rav Papa, maybe it's like Rav Papa that we had mentioned the previous daf, that no, the people of Shasaram can utilize a complete utility, not just through throwing, and as the Gemara there had said, by kumta and sudra, with the hats and the scarves, that it gets hot for them, and therefore that's something that easily could be placed on without throwing on the roof, and that is why the people of Shasaram will make it forbidden on the people of Marpesa, again, not because you could oyster there, because that you make it forbidden even by throwing. Maybe Shmuel holds like Rav, and therefore there's no proof that Rabbi Yehuda is getting it from Shmuel, because maybe he would hold that you're not asking Derech Aver, and he would be because they both have utility on the roof by placing it. So therefore, where did Rabbi Yehuda get this statement from Shmuel? Elamaha, rather it's from the following statement. And now as Rashi explains, that in truth Abaye heard that Rabbi Yehuda's statement was going on the halacha of Shmuel. As our Gemara had recorded it, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, this halacha of requiring a ziz kol shu. But what Abaye was saying was that this that Rabbi Yehuda required a kanya, just a reed, that he learned this from Shmuel that you require somewhat of a tikkun. And then that is coming to teach that Shmuel his Rebbe, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda himself, when he wasn't arguing on his Rebbe Shmuel that said that you have to have a ziz. And the reason very simply is because since his Rebbe did not say you need to have a slat that's four tefachim wide, obviously, since he's saying you could have any size ziz, his student, Rabbi Yehuda, was interpreting that obviously it wouldn't be just a ziz. It would be even a kanya, even a reed, that would be enough. And therefore, on that is what Abaye is asking, that where did he get this from to know this, that you require this what of a tikkun, that it's enough even with a kanya. So as the Gemara explains, which is what we mentioned before, Zeh moitzi ziz kol shu memali. Again, that was the halacha that was said. That we said that this one puts out a slat, even the smallest size, it doesn't have to be four tefachim, and he fills up. The Zeh moitzi ziz kol shu memali, and this one puts out a slat, even the smallest size, and he fills up. Now, what's the reason of this permission of the dli of putting out the pail? Very simply, time the apik. The reason is because he's putting out this ziz over there that allows him to be able to draw the water. Haloy apik, if he wouldn't put out this ziz, this small little slat, amrinan, then what would we say? What would be the problem if you're not putting out the slat? Obviously, we'd be saying that Adam Israel Chaveri Derech Aver, that a person makes a forbidden on his friend through the ear space. And on that is what Rabbi Huda is learning from that, that the same thing would be enough, even with a kanya, even with a reed. So basically what Abaye's question was just how does Rabbi Huda understand, in so to speak, in the Ian type of way, of internally understanding the statement of Shmuel that he says it's even by kanya. Because why does his Rebbe require, when he said over that halacha in the name of his Rebbe Shmuel, to say that you require a ziz kalshu? Obviously, if you would not have a ziz kalshu, that would be aser. What would that be based on? It would be based on that because someone could be Israel chavera derech aver. Because if not, what would be the necessity of having this ziz of confusion of what? If it's more than four tefachim away, there's never a problem, as Rav holds. So obviously, Shmuel holds that you could be Israel chavera derech aver. And what Rabbi Huda is inferring even further is from the fact that his Rebbe only says ziz kalshu, even the smallest size, that of course it could be even a reed, because it's not obviously else like machitzas or something. The ziz doesn't have to be four tefachim. And therefore, it's enough even with a kanya, and it's based on this principle that a person could be Israel chaver derech aver, and all we need is a hecker over here to differentiate, which is enough even with a kanya. Now the Gemara goes back to ask Uderav Meheicha. Now, when they had been discussing who was his teacher that taught him this, they said that it's obviously not Rav. Because Rav says that in Adam Israel Chaver Derech Aver, a person cannot make it forbidden an area on his friend if the only way he can use it, to say that there's two people that share utility and therefore they make it forbidden one to the other, if it's only through the ear space that I can't just directly use it, then it's not going to make it forbidden on the other one. And therefore, obviously, the statement of Rabbi Huda was not from Rav, because he would not hold that you have to have any kanya or any ziz. Where is this from? Where do we find Rav saying this halacha that you cannot make it forbidden through the ear space? So, Ilim Imho, if you want to say it's from the following halacha, that we learn, Shtei guzuz terois zula maila mezum. There's a mission that says that when you have two balconies, one on top of the other, that's, let's say, on a few-story building high, so on one story they have a balcony, and another one on a higher story there's another balcony. So therefore, there's halacha regarding, and they're open up on, there's a seafront property, and their porch, their balcony is directly over the sea. So there's a certain opportunity that you can do, based on a rabbinic halacha, that you could go ahead and make mechitzes, make walls, and make like a small little hole in between these walls of the balcony, and then you could draw the water from under it with you. That's called mechitza tluya, although generally that does not work. That's a leniency regarding mayim, regarding water that the chamo make. However, that Mishnah says, asu mechitza le'el yoyna, v'loy asu mechitza le'tachtoyna. Let's say the upper balcony had this operation done to it, that they made these mechitzas, these tent vochem walls that are around this balcony, but they didn't do this for the lower balcony. On that, the Mishnah says, Shtei Nasuris Achi Arba. Both balconies are forbidden from using that area of the upper balcony's operation of what allows it to be using it based on the mechitzas and the hole within it, until both balconies join together in an Erev, because since they both have rights of way, and they're going to be using the upper balcony, and if you don't make an Erev, so they're sharing one area together, that's going to make it forbidden. Now, v'amar Rav Huna Rav, so this was again Rav, that he explained it as follows. He says, l'yishtonu ele b'smucha. We didn't teach this halacha that they're both going to be forbidden until they make an Erev, only if they're nearby. That is, the upper balcony is not, let's say you have the length or whatever it is, the width of the building that goes along the sea, unless if it's not more than four tefachim away in distance, horizontally, from the other balcony, then that's what we said the halacha. Now, although it's more than 10 tefachim above the lower balcony, Rav Lishitasa, he learns what's called lezeh b'shulshul, lezeh b'zrika, that if one, which is the upper balcony, the only thing he needs to draw the water from him below him is by lowering down. And the other balcony requires not just lowering, but to throw it up also, because it has to go from his balcony up to the upper balcony, and then to use the hole of the lower balcony. He says still they're both going to be forbidden, because the utility of lowering and of throwing, he considers both of them as an equal type of utility. So therefore, the fact that one's higher than the other doesn't make a difference. But it's only a problem if they're nearby each other within horizontally four tefachim from the other. But if, let's say, they're more than four tefachim away from each other on the surface of that wall, now since the lower balcony only can use it by throwing not only the height of the 10 tefachim, but also a distance of the wall, that's considered aver, that's considered airspace, that it can only use it by passing through four tefachim of ear from one porch to the other porch. Now, that's not utility, and therefore, that's not less than, in other words, regarding zrika and shilshul, that would not be the idea over here. In other words, we're proving from Rav's halacha that if it's more than four tefachim away, the lower one would not make it forbidden for the upper one. Now, what would that be based on? If for the fact that he has to throw, but we found, and that's what we say in Rav, that if one requires zrika, throwing, which is a hard utility to use, and one requires shilshul, which is not as hard, he considers them both hard, and therefore both of them are considered having equal utility for this area, and they're both going to be asur. So why does he say that if one porch is more than four tefachim away from the other, disregarding the height, because we said that's not a big difference, because one is zrika, one is shilshul, says the same thing, why would that make it not forbidden? They still, one is zrika and one is shilshul. Obviously, it's based on this principle that we said, that would require aver. The lower one would only be using it through ear space. And therefore, that proves the idea that we're saying, that Rav holds, ein adam oisal chaveri derech aver. Since the only way the lower one could use it is through the ear space, he cannot make it forbidden on the upper balcony's utility of the water below him. And then Rav continued, and therefore, in such a case, when there's more than four tefachim away from each other, the upper one is permitted and the lower one is forbidden. Again, as we proved, that you cannot be oisur derech aver al chaver. That seems to be the proof of that Rav holds that you cannot asur derech aver. But the Gemara says, no, dimashani hacha, maybe this case is different. Maybe it's not true. Maybe the reason why Rav says it's not going to be forbidden over there is based on the principles of lezebe nachas or lezebe kasha, that for one it's easier and for one it's harder. And although generally he says that zrika and shulshul are the same, here it's a little bit different. The kivin de lezebe zrika b'shulshul, since here for the lower balcony, that it's not just throwing and lowering that we're discussing. The lower balcony needs to have three criteria to be able to use the upper balcony. It has to be throwing in the ear space, which is the distance of the four tefachim or more that it's away from the other balcony. Then it also has to be throwing a distance of the height of the 10 tefachim higher than the balcony is than the lower one. And then ultimately has to have the third utility of shulshul, of then lowering through the pit, through the hole of the balcony on the upper balcony. Whereas, but the other balcony, the upper balcony, all that requires is just lowering it into the sea to draw up the water. Therefore, that we would qualify as if it would be the equivalent of when one requires throwing to use it, and the other one, it's Pesach, it's straight open to them, which there the halacha is that you give it to the one of the Pesach, which is easily usable for that person, and not for the one that it's hard utility, which is to throw it. And therefore, it's different. So although Zrika and Shulshul here is the same, it's not just Zrika and Shulshul here, because here it's Zrika, Shulshul, and the Zrika of the ear space horizontally. That's very hard. That requires a real difficult maneuver. Whereas here, although Shulshul is hard, but definitely it's much different than that case, and therefore we would consider it as a discrepancy of Zrika and Pesach, and that's why we would say that we would consider only the utility of the upper balcony and not the lower balcony, and that's why we wouldn't ask, but not because of the principle of Avrin. Therefore, by the case of the pit, where they both have a distance of the same distance from each chatzar to each other, then maybe I would tell you that it would make it forbidden and that the ear space to aver would pose a problem. And here that it doesn't is not based on the principle of aver, rather again because of lezeb kasha ulezeb nachas. So again, we don't have a proof yet where it's from. So Elam HaHos, the Gemara says, rather it's from here that we find that Rav holds that a throwing will not make it forbidden through the ear space. And that is, the Amar of Nachma Amar Abba Arvu Amar Rav, that Rav said this following halacha. Shnei batim, if there are two homes and there are three destroyed homes in between the two of them, and that is, let's say you have a home, and as the Gemara assumes right now, you have another home, another home, another home, but they're all destroyed. The walls between them are broken down, and then you have that other home. So as Rashi explains, that we're talking about that there's no dwellers and there's no owners, the only ones that are, so to speak, have ownership over these three destroyed homes in between these two homes are the people of the, these two homeowners. And they, what the case is that they don't have entryways into these homes. There's no doors opening between the homes. Rather, their windows open up into these churbis between the two of them. So what does the halacha Rav says? So zemish tamish besamach shalai. This one can use the churva that's next to his house through his window. Ali deizrika by throwing. Again, there's no doorway open, so he has to use his window to throw down. Vizemish tamish besamach shalai al deizrika. And then the other house on the other side, he can use the churva that's open to his home through throwing. Similarly, also through throwing to that home. Now, there's three different questions that really Rashi grapples with. And that is that since each one doesn't really have complete utility during the weekday in these churvas, because there's no opening into those churvas, into those destroyed homes. Rather, all they have are windows. That pirtza of what generally should be a problem is that if I can use this churva and he can use that churva, and we never shared in each other, so the fact that these three churvas are all open to each other should be the problem of being breached to an area that's forbidden. However, Rashi says that here it's not a problem, and you could use the entire area because no one really has complete utility, and therefore it's not really considered an area that's his, that's going to make it forbidden on me by being breached to that. And therefore, up until his churva, I can use those two churvas that are open to my home. Now, another issue is that he cannot use through his window, and the only way he can use it is by throwing. As we said, there's no doorway open. And therefore, he's not going to make it forbidden on his friend, and his friend is not going to make it forbidden on him. Now, even though during the weekday, they use it through Zrika, doing Zrika through the airspace of his in that breach until that churva is not going to make it forbidden on his friend through the airspace, which that is the halacha that we're trying to prove from this, that we find the din of Rav, that since the only way I have utility in these churvas are through the airspace, therefore, none of them are going to make it forbidden on the other. So though I use it and you use it, but the fact that we only use it through the airspace, through throwing, that's why neither of them will make it forbidden on the other. And finally, Rashi says that the churva that's near his friend's house, he cannot use the other one even through throwing. And that is because since that churva, which is closest to his friend's home, is a very easy utility, it's called Tashmish Benachas, so therefore, and because all he has to do is lower it down over there by his window, he doesn't have to actually throw it, so it's considered Lezeh Benachas, Lezeh Bekasha, therefore, finally we say the whole picture is that he can use the churva next to his home, and I can't use that at all, because it's considered for him Benachas, for me Bekasha, because he could just lower it down, I have to throw it. And mine, again, similarly, I can use because that's considered benachas for me, but kasha for him. Then and each one is not considered breach with the other because even though we have those areas, but it's only through ear space and not through real usage, and that's why that's not considered an area breach one to the other. So that's regarding the houses near each other. Now we continue on Tamid Beis. However, vehem tzoi aser, but the middle churva that's between those two churvas. Again, each one can use his own churva that's the closest to him. But the middle one is going to be forbidden, which Gemara later is going to explain how do you understand that? Didn't we just say that the Aver does not make it Aser on Chatzeroi? But what we do see, Al Kapanim, is the source for the halacha of Rav, that although that I can use all these areas of churva during the weekday by throwing, but since the only way I have it is derech aver, that will not make it forbidden on the other person of using it also, because again, that's only considered derech aver, and derech aver does not make it aser al chaveri, and this is the source for Rav, that a person does not make it aser on someone else if his whole utility is derech aver. But now the Gemara comments on this halacha of Rav. Yosef Rav Brunner b'kamar l'hoshmaita, Rav Brunner was sitting and saying over the statement of Rav, Amalei Rav Eliezer, Rav Eliezer said, Barbei Rav, the students of the yeshiva of Rav, Amar Rav Hachi, did Rav really say such halacha? In other words, he was wondering. Rav Eliezer held from the fact that Rav said that the middle one is forbidden, that's even though that there's an ear space of each churva, there's a churva on either side of that middle one that separates from the houses and that middle churva. Now, why would that middle churva be usher to both of them? Obviously, that a person could make it forbidden on his friend through the ear space. All right? And that's because both of them use it during the weekday, but by what's called avir, there's only a window. It could only throw into there or whatever it is by using the airspace. And therefore, from the fact that both of them use it, both are going to make it asr on each other. So obviously, Rav holds, Adam isra chaver derech avir. Now, so why would then, what would be the understanding of the churvis that are near each home permitted? Obviously, that would be based on the principle of, well, because that's nachas lazeh, but kosh lazeh. Since that's easy for me and hard for him, so that's mine, that's right next to my home is permitted. And similarly, the same with the other. But the middle one, obviously, that it's usr is based on the principle of that a person could be aysr al chaveri derech aver. So did he really say such a thing? Amalei en. They said, yes, that's what he said. He said this halacha. So he says, ach v'li yishpizeh, show me where he's staying. Ach v'li, they showed him. Asli kamei the rav, it came in from the rav. Amalei amar marhachi. So he said, did the master really say this? Did you say this halacha? Which sounds like that you're saying that a person could be Israel chaveri derech aver. So amalei in, he says, yeah, this is the halacha that I said. The two outer ones are permitted for each one that abuts it. But the middle one is aser for both. Amalei v'ha marhu da amar. But the master is the one that said, and this is showing why he had a difficulty with this. Yes, maybe he holds Israel Machaveri derech aver, but each one that's near each other is because it's considered nachas lezeh, v'kosh lezeh. But he says, that I don't understand your halacha. Lezeh, you yourself said, lezeh b'shulsh lezeh b'zrika. If, let's say there's an area that's common to both areas around it, to these two domains, that for one it requires lowering to use it, for the other one it requires throwing to use it. Shneim asurin, you said that they're both forbidden, so obviously that even though shulsh lowering is easier than throwing, but since they're not, it's not totally like a pesach for either one of them, which means convenient usage, you have to do at least lowering, which is hard, maybe not as hard as throwing, but you view them as the same difficulty, and therefore you don't allow either one to use it. So then the question is, here also, that since even the churva that's right next to each home is not a Pesach, not for either one of them, because although that you could just lower it, but you can't just walk in and use it, it's not ground level for you. So therefore, although it's easier for this house that's right next to that churva than the other one on the other side, because all he has to do is shulshul, another one would have to throw it from his house all the way to that third churva that's next to the other person's home, that should be asr. I don't understand. This case should not be like nachas lezeh v'kosh lezeh, because one needs shulshul, one needs rika. You say that's both considered the same utility, and therefore they should be both, they not only should the middle chatzar, middle churva be asr, but even the two corners should be asr based on the principle of lezeh b'shulshul, lezeh b'zrika. It's asr for both. That amalei Rav told him, wait a second, you're misunderstanding the whole case that we had been assuming in the Gemara till now. Mi savit dekaimi kashura. Do you think that this case, that I was saying the halacha, that you have a house and three churvas and then another house, that it's like in a row, one next to another, that you have the outer churvas that are separating between the homes and the middle churva, that's why you're thinking, hey, must be Rav holds that a person could make it usher through the ear space on his chaver, and therefore you're asking, wait a second, then the homes next to each other should also be usher. If not, because you're saying that it can't be based, in other words, a person could oyser derech aver. So therefore, why is the homes next to each other? Obviously, it's only going to be permitted based on the principle of lezeh benachas, lezeh bekasha. And you're asking me that in this case, I would agree that it's not considered lezeh benachas or lezeh bekasha, because here it's shulshul, here it's zrika, shulshul and zrika is the same thing. That's why you're asking me this question. So it says, no, loy, dekayim mikachatzuva. We're talking about that the three churvas are like a tripod. And that is, all the three are near the homes. And that is, you have the home, a churva, and the home. And the third one is opposite the two churvas in between, like the three legs of a tripod. And therefore, the ones that are nearby to each house, the churva that's right next to that house, that we are going to be permitted for each one. Because I hold a person cannot make it forbidden on his friend through the ear space. And that's why, for although that each one can use it with the airspace, but you can't make it forbidden one on the other. So therefore, everyone can use his one that's right next to him. But the middle one, which is next to each home, is going to be forbidden. And the reason is that since both of them use that middle one, again, which is opposite those two, which are both open to the two homes that are on either side, both of them use it by lowering through their window down into that churva. So that's considered Rishush name. That's considered both of them having equal utility in it. Now, although the two ones that are close to each, the two churvas that are close to each home are breach to the middle one that is forbidden to both, and that's usually, as we had addressed on the previous daf, that Rashi was addressing, that's generally a problem of having an area that's permitted to you that's breached to an area that's forbidden. That makes even your permitted area forbidden. But the Rabbana were not stringent in the area where you don't really have complete utility, that it should be forbidden because now this permitted area is breached to that forbidden area, as we had explained in Amun Aleph, because this middle churva, the big one that's open to both sides, that's open to these two churvas, it's not really rishoshnehem, because they could only use it by using the ear space. There's no doors open to it. And therefore, although it's forbidden, because ultimately it is rishoshnehem, but the fact that these two other churvas are breached to that, that will not make them forbidden. And therefore, again, each house can use the churva right next to it, because the other person's usage of it, it will not make it forbidden because that's derech aver. However, that other one, the emtsai, will be forbidden because that's considered each one rishoshnehem because they both use it the same way by lowering down from their window into that middle chatzah. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss the other opinion, that of Shmuel, and then asks from what we're discussing on Amud Aleph, Amalei Rabbah LeRav. Lema Shmuel, let us say that Shmuel's opinion, that he argues on Rav, and that's where Rabbi Yehuda, his student, was coming from when regarding the halacha that we started off the daf with, by saying that a person could make it forbidden on his friend through the ear space. Let's say that less late to Rav Dimi, let's say he doesn't hold the halacha of Rav Dimi. And that is because the chiyas Rav Dimi, on Rabbi Yechonam, when Rav Dimi said he said in the name of Rabbi Yechonam, that mokam she'ein by dal radal, an area that is not 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim squared, mutu l'bnei rishus ha-rabim, u l'bnei rishus ha-yachal ha-kasabalam. So that is considered what's known as a mokam tur. And therefore, the people of the Rishus HaRabim, it's not a makam chashav, it's too small. So the people from the public domain can use it, and the people of the private domain can use it to adjust their bums on it. As long as they don't go ahead and use it as like an exchange point, I want to carry from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachad, or vice versa, we'll put onto this makam tur, then bring it there, bring it back. That's something that we don't want, and therefore we don't allow that. But they can both use that area. Now, why is it that Rav Dimi says that you're allowed to use that area for both Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah Yachad? Because it doesn't have an area of 4 tefachim. It doesn't have the requisite shear. Now, the placement on that Makom Tur, why isn't it Hanacha? Because ultimately, it's just like ear space. And Rav Dimi is saying it's permitted without any tikkun. You don't have to make any signs, any type of ziz or kani over there. Now, Shmuel holds that when you have an area that's not problematic for both, he holds you have to have a hitzoy ziz to show, wait a second, you're not really allowed to carry from this chatzar to that chatzar. We can't both use a common area, but this is not, but which is the halacha we had mentioned in the beginning of daf, with that pit that's in that small little alleyway between the two chatzeres, but we have to have some type of a sign, a ziz, a kanya, something. Here also, you're not a carry from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but you have to have some type of a sign at least, and here we find Rav Dimi saying that no, you don't have to have any type of a sign, they could both use this area. So it seems like the Shmuel would not agree to the halacha of Rav Dimi. And that the Gemara says no. Hasim over there by the halacha of Rav Dimi of Makom Ptur, we're talking about biblical domains. That min ha-Torah, there's a Rosh Hashanah Ram, there's a Rosh Hashanah Yachad, and that's it. And that's the two domains that we're talking about. And therefore, it's going to be permitted even without any signs. Because Hacha Rishuyis Rabbanan, however, here by the case that we're talking about, of what Shmuel is discussing regarding this bar that's between these two chatzeres, we're talking about biblical domain, rabbinic domains. And how is that? Because both of these are Rishus HaYachads, these two chatzeres. And in truth, min ha-Torah, they can't make it forbidden one and the other. That's only a rabbinic halacha requiring a Rubi chatzeres. And here where these two chatzeres did not make a Rubi chatzeres and you have the pit between them, so at most, the confusion that it might bring to why we need to have a hacker would be because you might come to an Issa Drabbanan. And the Rabbanan made their laws more strict than the biblical laws. And that is why we need to have a ziz. Because although by Makom Tur, we're not concerned that people might say, hey, you're allowed to go ahead and use the same area, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Yachad, might come to bring to confusion. Why wouldn't Shmuel require, like he requires by our case, of this bar that really is not anything forbidden? But because you might come to confuse that you're allowed to carry in the area that's jointly owned by two chatzeres that don't have an Erev, is because that's rabbinic law. Rabbinic laws, we have to be more stringent because of the laxity that's not biblical to say that it's going to be usher even more forbidden. That's why you have to make it this some type of a small slat or a hecker to show that, wait a second, this is not really a problem. But over here, Shmuel would agree to the halacha of Rav Dimi that since we're talking about biblical domains, that you don't have to make any type of tikkun, any type of a hecker. Now the Gemara asks, Amar Ravina l'Rava, mi amar Rav hachi. Now the Gemara goes back to Rav's halacha. That Rav, is it really true that Rav says that this person can use the churva, the building that was destroyed next to his by throwing, and based on his principle that a person cannot make it the other home that's open to on the other side, does not make it forbidden, because that's only through what's called derech aver, through the airspace, and the person cannot be oisa chaver derech aver. Is that really true? But we seem to have a halacha that he himself says that contradicts this. Voyitmar, but it was said that shnei batim, regarding a case of two homes that's owned by the same individual, mishnei tzidim shesram, on either side of the public domain. So there's a highway, and on one side there's a he owns one home, on the other side of the highway he owns another home. On that we had a machlekes. Rabbi Bar Avuna Amar Rav, Asr Lizrik Mizeh Lizeh, one is not allowed to throw from one home to the other. Now, even though when he's throwing from one home to the other, it's going in the airspace of Rosh Hashanah above 10 Tfachim, which does not have the halachic status as Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and yet we see that the public domain will make it forbidden through their airspace, even though they have no utility there, and that's why we only view Rosh Hashanah up to 10 Tfachim, that it will be forbidden. Ushmul amar mutal lizik mizel zen. Shmuel says, no, it is permitted to throw from one Rosh Hashanah to his other Rosh Hashanah. There's no problem because he owns it both. And here it's going above 10 tvachim. So why would it be the Rav would say it's asr? Obviously it's because that the aver, that the Rosh Hashanah could use it only through aver. In other words, only by throwing things up can the people in the public domain use that. But still we see that their tashmish, their utility, through aver, will make it forbidden for the passage from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah. So how can Rav had said that you can use the churva next to it and the aver of the other one will not make it forbidden? Here we see that he holds that aver of the people of Rosh Hashanah will make it forbidden for the person to pass from his one Rosh Hashanah to the other Rosh Hashanah. So Amalei said to him, he said, wait, Lav Miyakimna, didn't we establish that that case was talking about a whole different reason? The reason why it's forbidden, according to Rav, to throw from one Rosh Hashanah over the highway, over the Rosh Hashanah to his other home, is not because of the utility of the people in Rosh Hashanah. Rather, because the midlichad umitzichad, we were saying that one home is higher and one home is lower on either side of the Rosh Hashanah. And we were concerned that maybe he's going to throw from the low one to the high one, and it's not going to reach. Sometimes he's going to throw it. It's going to roll and fall into the Rosh Hashanah, and they might come to carry. And that's why Rav says it's asr, based on a concern, a gezeira, that you're not going to make it all the way because it's not equal. One's high, one's low, and you're throwing it, it's not going to make it. And then you might come to pick it up and bring it to the home, take it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Nothing to do with the fact of the airspace, because aver is not oisrael chaveray through the airspace. And as Rashi says, according to Shmuel, it seems to be that the Gemara could have asked a contradiction in his statement too, because he says that it's permitted to throw from one home to the other home over the airspace of Rosh Hashanah. Yet he himself says that Adam Yisrael Chaver Derech Aver. You do make it forbidden through the airspace. So why is it permitted to throw? It should be forbidden according to him, because the people of the public domain use that through Aver, through throwing it up. And that, Rashi says, as the Gemara had just previously said, that by Rishuyas Dei Raisa, as we had mentioned, that Shmuel could hold like Rav Dimi, when it's public, when it's biblical domains, that Shmuel agrees that one will not make it forbidden through shearing the ear. You don't have to have any hekeres, and therefore it's not going to be forbidden to through the dictum of Adam Yisrael Chaveri Derech Aver, and that's why it wasn't a question either, according to Shmuel. Now we begin the next Mishnah, which discusses the placement of the Erev, where it is placed. So the Mishnah begins. If someone places his Erev Chatzeres. Again, that is that everyone joins together and they take their bread, their meals, and they put it into one person's home and review this, all the homes in the Chatzeres, as if they joined and being a pluralistic singularity by being owned by one person, everyone lives in that home and it's viewed as one big Rosh Hashanah. So however, if they put their Eruv HaTzeres bebei shar, in the gatehouse, or achsadja, which achsadja basically has like a roof, but it doesn't have walls, umar peset, or on the gallery, which is basically like that part of the it's like the roof of the first story that the people in the second story, it's like their porch that it opens up into. All these three cases, enoi erev. That's where they put the breads as if to make an Erev in that, as if this is the one home that owns the whole thing, that's not a good Erev because these are not full-fledged batim, they're not homes, and therefore you can't say this is the house that is what the whole chatzar is, an extension of that home, because they're not homes. And similarly, the hadarsham, and even someone that lives over there, if let's say someone lives in the gatehouse of the courtyard, ain't no Yisraelav, he's not going to make it forbidden on the owner of the courtyard, and that person wouldn't have to give bread to join into the Erev, because generally, if one person doesn't join in, it's not singularly owned, because there's a person that's not included, because what he lives in is not considered a dira, it's not considered a residential dwelling place, and therefore, even though someone lives there, he's like squatting in something that's not a home, and therefore he's not making it forbidden, even if he doesn't join in the Eruv Chatzeres. However, the Mishnah says, Beis HaTeven, the place where the straw is kept, Ubeis HaBakar, and the barn where the cattle is kept, Ubeis HaEitzim, and the storage place for the wood, Ubeis HaEitzres, and the place where general storage is placed, HaRezei Erev, these are considered diras, and therefore if you place the older breads over there of the Erev, it is considered a full-fledged dira to consider it a Eruv Chatzeres. And similarly, on the flip side, Vahadar Sham, and someone that lives over there, if let's say the owner lent him this Beis HaTeven where he keeps the straw, he let this person sleep over there, and he gave him that as his dwelling place, then Iser, that person will make it forbidden for the people of the courtyard that since he has an opening from the barn or from the Beis HaTeven open up into the Chatzar, he's considered a full-fledged dweller, and if he doesn't join the Erev, it will be an invalid Eruv Chatzeres. However, Rabbi Yehuda qualifies this halacha, and he says, "Im yeshem tvisas yad shel bala bayis." However, if the homeowner has what's called rights of way, he has some type of usage still in that place where this person is staying, that he left some type of utility in that dira, that let's say he left some of his stuff, like, look, I'll let you stay in the barn, I'll let you stay in the base of heaven, look, but I have all my tools over there, stuff that I'm going to have to come in and use it, then ein ha'iser, then that person will not make it forbidden by not joining in the Erev, based on that he is a dweller over here, because we view this, all these Beis HaTeven, and although people are sleeping over there, and they're full-fledged diras, we view it as the reshus of the chatzar, of the homeowner, as if they're all living with him in the same home, like as if they're guests by his house, and therefore, although they're living in all these Beis HaTeven, Beis HaBakar, which are full-fledged, but since he has his vessels over there, it's like my home, and I don't have to make an Erev for every building I own on my property. It's enough to make one. Therefore, although you're living over there, but I have Tvisas Yad, so we view it as an extension of my home, and you're staying by my home, and therefore, you're not making, joining the Eruv Chatzeres would not be a problem. So now the Gemara discusses our Mishnah. Amar Yehuda b'Rei d'Rav Shmuel bar Shilas. A general rule, as we found in our Mishnah, Kamakim sha'amru hadar sham eine aisa, wherever we said that if someone dwells over there, in let's say a Beishar, or a Nachsadjer, or Marpeset, if he dwells over there, he does not make it forbidden by not joining the Eruv Chatzeres, because he doesn't have a Dira to say that there is a Dira, there's a dweller, there's an owner in this property that does not join together. He doesn't make it forbidden. So similarly, then Hanis Nesiruve in Erev, placing the Erev in that type of a dwelling would not be a full-fledged Erev, because it's not in the Dira. And to make the Eruv Chatzeres has to be in a bias in the Dira. And therefore, since we're not qualifying as such, and therefore he doesn't make it forbidden, similarly, if we put the Erev over there, it wouldn't work. Chutz mi beis shar diyocha, there is one exception. If when we're talking about the house of a gatehouse of an individual, and that is regarding the courtyard of an individual, there it's going to be different. That although that we say that if you put the Erev over there, it's not going to be a good Erev, then we will say that it would be a good Erev. And our mission is talking about a Beis Shar of a Chatzar, of a Rabbim, of a public, and therefore we say that putting the Erev over there will not be good, and that's based on the principle that if someone lives there, it's not considered dear to make it Asar on the others. Similarly, B'chamakim Sha'amr Chachamim, Eimanichim B'Erev, another general rule, that wherever the Chacham said that this is a place where you cannot put the Erev, but Manichim B'Shituv, you could put Shituv over there, and that is, there's a Eruv Chatzeres, when you join all the homes together, that we say that that's called a Eruv Chatzeres by putting in one of the batim. But we said something that's not a bias, for example, Nachsadra, Mapes is a Beishar, that we said that you cannot put the air over there because it's not considered batim. However, you could put what's called Shituv Mevois over there. That's when all the Chatzeres, again, all the homes are open to the Chatzeres, and then all the Chatzeres open up into the Mavi, which is a more public area, and then the Mevois open up into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Although we said that these, let's say, Beis Shar, Achsadr, Mapeset, that they're not considered batim, so you cannot put the Eruv Chatzeres over there, but Shitufim Mevois, you could put over there. chutz mi avrim mavi, except for the ear space of a mavi, and that is because an Erev, Erev HaTzeres, as we had explained, is based on the principle of dira, of dwelling. And that is, we're considering all the houses in this chatzar as they're joined together, as if they all live in this one home. And therefore, if that home, or whatever what you would call it, this Beis Shaar, Achsadr Mapeset, is not fit for dwelling, it's not considered a dira, so that wouldn't permit it because we don't see them as all joined together in the same home because that's not a home, so where are they? However, Shituf, the joining of all the chatzeris in the Mavoi, that's not based on the principle of Dira, because there is no Batim that is applicable to chatzeris. No one lives in chatzeris, we're joining the chatzeris. So that's not based on the principle of being a bias or a base Dira, rather of chatzeris. So you don't need to have Dira. All you need to have, where you're going to place the Shituf Mavoi, is what's called a Makam HaMishtamer, a place that's protected and that's private, for example, like you put in the chatzir. But the airspace of the Mavoi itself, that's not protected. And therefore, you could put the Shetuvim Mavoi anywhere in the Chatz, even the Beis Shaar, Achsadr Mapeset, but it cannot be in the airspace of the Mavoi itself, which is not protected. Now the Gemara asks, on this general rule that Rabbi Huda, Bereder of Shmuel Bar Shilas had said, I said, wait a second, my Kamash Mom, what is he teaching us? Tanina, we learned these two general rules in our Mishnah. It says, Hanois Nesiruva Bebeis Shaar, whoever puts his Erev in the gatehouse, Achsadra, Marpeset, Eine Erev. It's not an Erev. And then we said that not only is it not an Erev, and therefore someone dwells there, it's not going to make it Usr. That's the first general rule. And then we also have, based on the inference, we know his second rule too, is that Erev hu delei hava, that it's not going to be a good Erev in these types, because they're not considered Batim, they're not based Dira, Hashit of Hava. But what we do see is that it would be Shituv and Mavayis. So we know both of his rules. Why do you have to tell this? And that the Gemara says, he needed to teach us the exceptions. Beishar di Yachid, the exception regarding the gatehouse of an individually owned chatzar, where there you could put the Erev in, although you cannot, it's not going to make it forbidden by not being joined into the Erev. And the Avir de Mavi, in the airspace of the Mavi, regarding the other general rule, where we said that although you could put the Shituv Mavois in the Beishar Achsad Mapesin, but you cannot put it into the airspace of the Mavi, Yitzchalai, that's what we needed to teach the Delight Tanan, because those things, those exceptions were not taught, only the general rules, and that's why you have to tell us these rules for the exceptions. Now the Gemara says, Tanya Mahachim. Similarly, we learned in the Braisa regarding this idea that although it's an area that you cannot put the Erev Chatzeris, like our Mishnah said, Beishar Achsad Mapesed, but you are allowed to place the Shituv Mevois over there, as we explained, because it's not based on the principle of Dira, rather of Mokam HaMishtamer, and these are Mokames HaMishtameres, they're protected areas. We learned similarly in the Braisa this idea. The Braisa says, Hanois Nesiruvi Bebeishar, someone who places an Erev in a gatehouse, Achsadra, Umarpeset, Ubachatzer, in the courtyard, Ubimavoi, and in the alleyway, Hareze Erev, it's an Erev. So which the Gemara right away asks, what do you mean? Vatnan Ein Zeh Erev, we learned in our Mishnah, they're not considered Erev Chatzeres. That is what the Gemara answers, which is what we're showing the Braisa is like what we had just said, Ema Hareze Shituv. What do we mean by Erev? We mean really the Erev of all the Chatzeres in the Mavi, which is a Shituv Mevois. So as we had explained, all these areas, although they're not valid for an Erev, they're valid for a Shituv. But that the Gemara asks, wait, one of the cases was a Mavi. Shituv Mavi Leminta. We had just explained that what's necessary for Shituv Mevois is a protected area. But as we had said, an exception to where you could put a Shituv is in the Mavoi. So how can you put it in there? It's not protected. So why would that be a valid even for Shituv? And that the Gemara answers, what does it mean by Mavoi? It means Ema B'chatur Shabim Mavoi. It means to include a courtyard in the Mavoi, one of the courtyards that open into the Mavoi. Anywhere in the courtyard is valid for the Shituv Mavoi. But you're right, in the Mavoi itself, in that airspace, is not protected and you wouldn't be able to put the Shituv over there. So related to this, the Gemara brings Zamra B'Yehuda Mishmol. Regarding the people of the chevra, of the group, that they were sitting around and they were eating on Friday afternoon. The kiddush alein hayom. And then it started becoming Shabbos. So what could they do? Let's say they had to carry stuff home and they had failed to make yet a Rubich HaTzeis, a Shetuv Mevois. So on that, the Gemara says, Pas sha'al ha'shulchan, simchan alein mishum erev. The bread that's on the table, you can rely on it as an erev. We all are sharing in this bread. And therefore, we consider as if everyone putting bread in the basket, and now it's in this one home, and therefore we could all join together, and that's considered, hey, we're all joined together, we could carry throughout the area. And some say that bread that's on the table could be valid as a shituv for the whole mavoi. On that, Amar Rabba, Rabba says, V'lei pliki, and really these two versions are not really arguing. It depends on the circumstance. Kan b'mesubin b'bayis. Here we're talking about that they were sitting around the table in the house. That would be valid for an Erev, because an Erev, the bread basket, has to be in a home to be considered a base dira that is one big, this whole chatzah is one big rishas hayachid now. Kan b'mesubin b'chatzah. This case that said that it's going to work only as a sheet of mevoyis, that was talking about that they're sitting around the table in the courtyard, not in someone's home. Now that is not valid for a Eruv Chatzeris, because it has to be considered as if we're all in, joint owners in this one home. It's not in the home, it's in the Chatzer, but that would be valid for a Sheet Mevayis, because the Chatzer is still a Mokim HaMishtameris. Amli Abayi L'Rabbis. Abayi said to Rabba, based on what you just said, Tani D'Mesayelach, there's a Braisa that supports you regarding this differential between the Eruv and the Sheetuv. As we learned in the Braisa, Eruv Chatzeris B'Chatzer, regarding you could put a Eruv Chatzeris in a courtyard, v'shitufa mevoyis b'mavi, and you could put shituf mevoyis in a mavi. V'avinu, but we asked about this, how do you understand this braisa? A ruv chatzeis b'chatzah, you could put a ruv chatzeis in a courtyard, but now we learn in the Mishnah, ha'noisnes ruv b'beis shar, if someone puts his eruv, even not only just in the chatzah, but even somewhat of a dwelling in the chatzah, which is in the gatehouse, achsadra, umar pesed, regarding all these different areas of the gallery, and all these different places, if it has like a roof but no walls, ain't an Erev. So then we say it's not an Erev. Definitely, if it's not in any some type of a dwelling, just somewhere in the Chatzar, for sure it's not going to be a good Eruv Chatzeris. On that, you have to interpret the Braisa, Ema, Eruv Chatzeris bebayisha b'chatzar. It doesn't mean to put Eruv Chatzeris in the Chatzar itself. It means in a home in the Chatzar. And that Chiddush would be that it's excluding a home in a different Chatzar. Although we're all joining together, putting in a home, if it's in a different courtyard, that wouldn't work for our courtyard. And Shetuv v'mavayis, it doesn't mean in the Mavay, it means b'chatzar shabimavay. It means to include in one of the courtyards in the Mavay, which excludes a courtyard that doesn't open up into this Mavay. So although we all put into that courtyard, it's not going to be good enough. It has to be a courtyard that opens up into this Mavay. Again, seeing the same interpretation that it doesn't mean, although it could say that it's opened up into a chatzar, it means a bayisha b'chatzar, and here it opens up into the Mavay, means a chatzar in the Mavay. So now the Mishnah had said that although that is going to be a problem if someone lives in the Beis HaTev and the Beis HaBakar, if someone's in these sub-diras, but they're still considered a dira, that if he doesn't join in the Erev, he's going to make it usa for everybody else, Rehuda qualified this halach, and he says that regarding this Beis HaTev and etc., im yesh sham tfisas yad, if the homeowner has rights of way, that if he has, let's say, he holds tools in this one, and he has linen in that home, in that base tab, in that base bucker, then they're not going to make it forbidden on him because it's viewed as all his homes, and therefore they're considered an extension living by him, and they don't make it forbidden. That the Gemara asks, Heichadami Tfisas Yad, what is the understanding, what's considered Tfisas Yad, that he has some type of a right of way, that he has some type of ownership, he has utility in his base of tab, in his base of bucker, that it would not make it forbidden from that person on him? So the Gemara says, "Kigun chatzeris shel bunyas ben bunyas." It's like the courtyard of bunyas ben bunyas, who was a very wealthy individual, and he would lend out homes in his courtyard for other people. He was very hospitable, but he had all his utensils and all these different dwellings and all these different homes because he was very wealthy and he didn't have room where to store it. So he had wherever people would stay. He let them stay there, but he had his utensils over there, and therefore that would be considered tfisas yad. And although they live there, they don't have to join in the ribah chatzeris, but it's considered all his homes, and they're just staying as if in his house. So parenthetically, the Gemara brings it, Asla kamei de Rebbe. This bunyas ben bunyas came in front of Rebbe. Amalahu, he said to everyone around, panu malkum, make space. In other words, make a chashra space. This wealthy individual is coming. Leben mei mana, for the person of 100 mana. Then the Gemara says that Asa in the Shachrina, a different person came. Amalahu, he said to everyone around him, we continue on the top of Peivav and Aleph, panu malkum leben masai mana, make space for the person of the 200 mana. In other words, a more chashva space than he made for bunyas ben bunyas, for the really chashva people, and that he was making chashivas for each person according to their wealth, he honored them more. So Amalafan of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yisi, he said, Rabbi, Aviv Shalzeh, the father of bunyas, his father, Yeshli Elif Svinas Bayam, he has 1,000 ships at sea, Ukenegdan, and parallel to that, he has Elif Ayaras Bayabash, he has 1,000 cities on land. So why are you giving more honor to the second person? Are you calling him the 200 mana person and him only 100 mana person? Do you know how wealthy he is? You know how much his father has? So Amaloi, so he said to him, he says, so when you come to his father, who you're telling me he's so wealthy, go ahead and tell him, Don't send your son with the type of clothing that you did in front of me. In other words, he doesn't look so wealthy with the type of clothing. That's why I didn't honor him so much. You're telling me he's very wealthy, I hear. But I couldn't tell from the clothing that he's wearing to tell his father that he should dress him up a little bit more honorable. So related to this, the Gemara says, as we find from this incident, that Rebbe Mechaber Hashem, Rebbe honored wealthy people. And Rebbe Kiva Mechaber Hashem, Rebbe Kiva honored wealthy people. Now why is that? Why they're honoring wealthy people? What are they honoring money for? On that, the Gemara says, Kedidarish Rav Abba Amari. Like Rav Abba Amari had expounded the following pasuk in Tehillim, and that's why they honored these wealthy people. It says in the pasuk, Yeshiv Oylem Afnei Elokim. The literal translation is that the king should sit forever in front of God. Chesed ve'emes man, appoint kindness and truth. Yintzeru, that will protect him. But the homiletic interpretation is, Emesai Yeshiv Oylem Afnei Elokim. When can the world stand in front of God? That's at the time when the wealthy people do kindness and feed poor people the food that will protect the world. That's bizman shechesed ve'emes man. And man is from a lashon of mezainus, like we find in the desert, that their food was called man. That's at the time when there's food of kindness and truth, yintzeruhu, that will protect the world. And that is why these two great Talmid Chacham honored these wealthy people, because they are really holding up the world with the tzedakah that they do. Now, the Gemara continues in relating to explaining this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that he said that if the homeowner has a tefisis yad in this other home, that then that person will not make it usher by not joining in the Erev. Rabbi Bar Chana Amar says, Kigun yesed shamachresha, like the peg of the plow, of the plow, that's enough for that to consider that if I have that over there in that base of Tevin or base of Bakr, that I have tefisis yad, and therefore it's like considered an extension of my home. So the Gemara qualifies this halacha. Amar of Nachman, Tana de Beis Shmuel, Davar Hanitl b'Shabbos, something that can be taken on Shabbos, that's not considered, in other words, that could be removed from that Beis HaBak or Beis HaTevin, that's not considered as the homeowner having Tefisis Yad, and therefore Eiser, therefore the person living in the Beis HaTevin will make it forbidden on the homeowner if he does not join in the Erev. Because if that person wants, the one that's renting that area or borrowing that area, he can go ahead and take that person's linen or something that can be used on that can be moved in the shop, and he can take it out. And therefore, you don't really have a full-fledged tefisis yad in this Beis HaBak or Beis HaTevin. Something that cannot be moved on Shabbos, that will not make it forbidden by not joining in the Erev, because that we would view as Tefisis Yad, because I have rights of way. You cannot remove my stuff from here. We view it therefore as an extension of my home, and you're just staying by me. And therefore, then he would not make it forbidden. Yeshlei Tevel, if he has untithed produce, which is Muktze. Yeshlei Ashashas, if he has large bars of iron, these large chunks, or anything that cannot be removed on Shabbos, then that person will not make it forbidden by not joining in the Erev, because again, that would be considered a case of the homeowner having Tefisis Yad. Look, my stuff are here, it's considered my home, even though you're staying here, it's not yours, you're staying by me, and therefore in such a case, it will not be forbidden if that person does not join in the Erev. That's included in Rabbi Yehuda's statement of having Tefisis Yad.